sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. Here at the Chateau, as Jack Ham refers to it as. He loves the Sunbury Motor Studio, by the way. He said he was completely taken aback by it. Thus, he has nicknamed it the Chateau. Dick Girardi looked at it and went, yo, cool, man. As only he can. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Our hotline is powered by Lenape Solar. You can always visit them at lenapesolar.com. And today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. We now bring in America's favorite, the one on the show that people truly love, Kevin Herr.
Wow, that's a great introduction. Can we do that again?
No, it was in the contract. I was only allowed to read it once.
Oh, well, it was worth a shot anyway.
NBA draft is later this week. The Phillies had another fun day yesterday at the park. They have the Pirates now in. And our number is 1-800-795-9565. And we'll start out with Buzz. Hi, Buzz. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Guys, I've been thinking about this for a few days, and I was thinking I'd ask you early on before you got into other stuff. Has there ever been in sports, in professional sports that you know of, an incentive that the winning team makes more than the losing team? I'm thinking of watching the Phillies in particular the last few days. And, you know, I'm a salesman, and I only get paid if I win. And I'm just wondering what you think it could possibly do from a positive point to professional sports if the winning team for any match got some kind of a bonus over the losing team.
There would be a lot of poor Phillies.
Well, actually, it's not unprecedented. For example, in the Super Bowl, the winning team gets a share.
I understand.
And the losing team gets half. In the World Series, the winning team gets a share, the losing team gets half, but not on a regular season basis. It's always done on a basis of, for example, Buzz, I've signed you to a three-year contract worth $30 million. You'll get $10 million this year, and regardless of whether you hit 190 or hit 245, you're still going to get that $10 million this year. It's guaranteed locked-in money.
What is the motivation, then, Steve, for professional athletes these days who get paid regardless of whether they win or lose?
Well, the motivation is this. If you go through that 10-year three-year $30 million contract and you're not very good, your next contract is not going to be in the $10 million range. You're either going to be out of the league with a short window, or your contract may be $3 to $4 million a year. They may offer you a minor league deal where then you have to earn it back. So that means those are the incentives.
Yeah, I'm thinking I could probably live pretty well the rest of my life on $10 million I would make that first year.
Yeah, I think most people could. I think most people could. I mean, look at Kevin, for example. I mean, he only does this show for recreation.
That's right.
I mean, he's made so much heavy paper over the years in this industry that really he's just doing this for exhibition purposes.
He's making millions.
Buzz, he's doing this for exhibition reasons.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, I just was so disgusted the other night, and it occurred to me, like I said, and I'm in sales. If I don't do it right, or if I make a mistake, or I don't get the deal, I get nothing. And you know, I'm watching these guys, and they're half, you know what, attitudes. And some, I'm not saying that they're not all playing hard, but there's a lot of professional athletes in all sports that don't give it all every day. And I just wonder what you thought of that possibility. Would that be an incentive for them?
You do get concerned with some, and everybody has their own personality. And in their own personality, you do get concerned that the effort they gave on Tuesday last week is not the same effort as they're giving on Monday this week, because they're either pacing themselves Or they're like, yeah, yeah, I'm fine. But you have to take personal pride in what you do, and you have to realize that you are among 750 individuals in the world of 7 billion that has this opportunity, and that, Buzz, you would trade places with them in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Just food for thought.
That's a lot of food for thought there. Should they be paid by the win? You know, there's an old movie called Fast Break starring Gabriel Kaplan. The movie's called Fast Break with Gabriel Kaplan.
I remember the title.
He took over the University of Nevada basketball team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is back. This now, of course, they're called Nevada Reno. Right?
Okay.
And the premise was that they were terrible, and he would be paid by the win, and he was given $100 per win, and he brought four guys from New York City with him. And it turned out one of them was Bernard King. So he's feeling like, and another one was Mike Warren, who played at UCLA. So he's Mike Warren and Bernard King. And he has four stud guys that he has with him that can all play. They have to find a fifth guy in this rum-dum group just to give him a starting lineup. Well, he goes through and he wins his first 15 games. So the athletic director is there peeling out hundreds, and he peels out $1,500. And because they're 15-0 and now nationally ranked, he looks left, he looks right, and he slips on another 100. <That's some credits. laughs>
I'll check it out.
And the entire goal was to basically beat, even though they weren't labeled as such, was to beat UNLV, which was the number one team in the country, which down the road they do. So,
check it out sometime. I would just like to say that I'm sure that a majority of professional athletes realize how special they are and how many other people would like to be in their place and play their hardest. But do they do it every day? You know, that's the question. Yeah.
Well, we give it our all here every day, Buzz.
You certainly do. You certainly do. Thanks, guys.
Buzz, thank you. Great, great stuff. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, and the Lenape Solar Hotline, 1-800-795-9565. Certainly brings up an interesting point.
Yeah, there'd be a guy in Philadelphia right now that's a setup man, or supposedly, that would be starving if it were paid by the win.
Is this your guy, Chad Qualls?
No.
Not today?
Not today. It's the other issue. Why do the Phillies keep going back to Bastardo? Why? Somebody explain it to me.
I think didn't Hamels throw 111 pitches?
Hamels was over 100 pitches.
He had 111, I think. So he's done. And now, you know what Charlie Manuel does?
I'd like to know. Please tell me.
He wakes up every morning, all right? He wakes up every morning and he says, "What can I do to torque Kevin Herr off?"
It works. Listen, I'd rather, at this point, put in Juan Pierre to pitch the setup inning. I mean, we spent a lot of money as Phillies fans on Papelbon, and guess what? We're not getting to him. What difference does it make if you have Papelbon if he's not getting to him?
I know. Now, the Pirates are coming in, right?
Yeah.
The Pirates are coming in, and they have the bullpen the Phillies wish they had.
No, the Phillies wish they had a bullpen.
Well, the Pirates have as balanced a pitching staff as there is in the game today. That's what they have. Starters, they should get more out of their starters. I mean, their starters give them 5 or 6 good innings. In reality, they should be giving them 6 or 7 good innings. They can't quite squeeze consistently that 7th inning out of them. All right? But they also have as fine a closer as the Phillies do in Joel Hanrahan. In between, they also have the guys that we've been talking about, those bridge guys. And their guys have to usually work the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings. And for the most part, they're very good. And they have kept them in games because offensively, they're not very good. Andrew McCutchen is as fine a player as we see in the game today. He's hitting .340. He's tremendous. And when you look at some of the other players around him, give you an example. Neil Walker is a good player. He's not a great player, but Neil Walker is a good player, and I think a lot of people would like to have a Neil Walker in their team. Alvarez at least has great power potential and can do it with the bat power-wise. Hit the two home runs against Cleveland in one game eight days ago. McCutchen is a star. I mean, no getting around it. He is a big-time, major, big-time star that even though he has a target on his chest, and even though you know if you pitch around him, he doesn't have Manny Ramirez or David Ortiz in their prime hitting behind him, so you can pitch around him. He's still hitting 340, and he's still hitting home runs. But you look at the rest of this group, Presley and Tabata are no better than fourth or fifth outfielders on any contending major league team. Garrett Jones is no better than a pinch hitter on most contending teams. Rod Barajas,
but he'd
no better than a backup catcher on any contending team. He'd help you out as a backup catcher, but he's no more than that. And Clint Barmer's at shortstop. To borrow your word, really? So, I mean, he's Clint Hurdle's guy from his days with the Colorado Rockies. I mean, that's what they run out there every day. And why do they have a better record than the Phillies? Because their pitching balance is much better.
Again,
that's why.
$50 million watching the games yesterday.
Look, I will say this very quickly about, we have to remember with Ryan Howard, when he got hurt, I did not think he would play in 2012.
No, you said that. You're right.
Right? Only because of the injury.
And it's not looking good right now.
No, but it's that nature of that particular injury and the size of the man. Right? That's a tough one to come back from in a year. All right? That's a tough one to come back from in a year. Okay? When you sit there and look at that, I mean, the Utley thing, he obviously is one of those athletes that has to be perfect before he gets out there. You have to have the ability to play hurt. Now, I think he's played hurt before, but there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. And they've been so mysterious about what he's done that it's, you know, yeah, you have to wonder about him. Now, Halliday's legitimately hurt. I mean, he's, you know darn well this guy. I mean, he's fighting with the manager on the mound to pitch the ninth inning all the time. So when he's out, he's really out.
At this point, I'm almost willing to let Hamels go past 112 to 130 pitches and be done with it. And I know why you don't do that. I get that. But that's how bad it is. You know what? Here, let me give you an example. Dale Murphy of Philly.com had a great point, and I didn't really look at it until I started reading this earlier this morning. Philly's insurance policies against Bastardo, Stutz, and Qualls, who have been inconsistent to say the least, is a 40-year-old named Jose Contreras who had an elbow injury that basically lost him for the entire season.
Right.
You look at the other side of it. All right, Utley's knees have not been good for a while. What are the backups? A 22-year-old rookie with an on-base percentage of less than 300 in the minors, and a utility guy who's almost 30 who has an on-base percentage of 250.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the backup situation now for Howard, who they knew was not going to be ready for opening day. I mean, let's face it. We all knew that. We were just hoping, as Philly fans, that they would be ready by, you know, June. What's the backup? Your backup is Ty Wigington, who now has to alternate because of playing third base, because you have a Plácido Polanco who gets injured every now and then, and a 41-year-old who can barely make it around the bases. I love Jim Thome, but let's face it, he's not going to be an everyday first baseman for you.
Right.
And what's left? John Mayberry Jr., who's turned into an everyday player and not really panned out the way they need him to. As a matter of fact, like for the 15th time with a runner in scoring position, he struck out.
Right.
That's what's wrong with the Phillies right now. And the point that Murphy was making is it's not necessarily what's going on in the dugout. It's what went on 6 months ago is where the problem lies.
Oh, no question, because when Ryan Howard got hurt, okay, when Ryan Howard got hurt, and the next day they said what the injury was, it became obvious. Look, one of the deeper positions in all of baseball is you can find a power-hitting first baseman. All right? You can. And when and now the Kevin Youkilis thing, now that he's gone to Chicago, they fouled it on that one.
Oh, there's nothing available now.
They fouled it on that one. You would have picked up a guy who would have played with fire and incentive. Now, his bat slowed down. We know that. But he's a gold glove first baseman, and he had a streak of 400 games at one stage without making an error. And this guy plays with his guts out all the time. All the time. And it's
listen, the big difference for the Phillies this year as opposed to previous years is the fact that they've been winning one-run games because of the fact that they've been solid getting to the closer. Right. And even though they may not be scoring a ton of runs, they're still winning those games. Now they're not scoring a ton of runs because their hitting is not what it used to be, because they have a lot of guys that, their batting average as a team is down significantly from the years before, but they don't have anybody to sit there and close the game out and make the game solid in the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning. And you're absolutely right. When you compare the Phillies to the Pirates, that's the difference. And even though you have a team that does not score a ton of runs in the Pirates and doesn't have the talent, they're still winning games because they're able to keep the games close because of the pitching.
Right, and they do. They keep the games close because of the pitching.
That being said, it's time to sell.
Well, time to sell what?
Well, your question for the day was buyers or sellers. Are the Phillies buyers or sellers?
Well, they might be sellers, but I'm telling you right now, I would not sell Cole Hamels. I wouldn't do it. And you want to know why I wouldn't do it? I'd sit down and I'd talk turkey with him, because this is what I'm looking at. I can either have a left-handed ace of my staff through 2020, or I risk through age and attrition Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, and no Hamels.
And the only free agent that's left is Jamie Moyer.
Right. I mean, that's what you're talking about here. Yeah, and I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. I think that if you are famous for always looking to the future all the time. That if they looked to the future this year would be better. If they looked to the future that year, this year would have been better, and blah, 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 blah. And I've told you, no, you got to go for the moment, okay? But there are also some moments. Now, because they didn't look into the future on Ryan Howard in the offseason, they ended up with this situation. All right? But I think when you get to this stage, you then start saying to yourself, this year is not going to work. But down the road, what do I need? They need Cole Hamels more than they do whatever they would get in return for him.
But here's the problem. Other than Cole Hamels and maybe Shane Victorino, what is there left that people are going to be interested in?
Ty Wigginton, your guy. No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, what do you get? Jim Thome? Ryan Howard? They're going to take a risk on getting rid of Howard? I don't know what's left after you look at and I agree with you. I don't want to see Hamels go, but after Hamels and Victorino, I'm not sure what's left.
I think you chalk it up as a lost season, and I think you re-sign Hamels. I think re-signing Hamels is the best signing that you can make.
And hope everybody gets back next year.
Right. I think re-signing Hamels is the best off-season move or in-season move you can make. I think you offer him a 4-year deal and see how he reacts to it.
1 month to training camp.
You're incorrigible. I mean, if this show doesn't go the way you want, you'll bag me quickly. I mean, we can move Kyle in here or Sarah. We're fine. But, I mean,
I'm expendable. I know it.
Yeah, just saying. All right. Now, next hour, next half hour, I'm going to play back for you. Yeah, I know we're a Fox affiliate, so we'll have to give credit where credit is due off YouTube. But Mark Cuban with Skip Bayless on ESPN2. He destroys Skip. Unbelievable. Even you'll like it, Kevin.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
You should. And Stephen A. Smith, too. I mean, really, it's a double dip.
Oh, I like it when he gets bashed.
Well, Cuban does the job. It's a slice and dice moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, online at purdyinsurance.com. Back with more with the great Herr himself. And your calls at 1-800-795-9565 on the Lenape Solar Hotline after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Rain moved through this morning. Moved through during the On the Mark program. We think that's the best time for it to rain.
I have no comments.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565.
Mark Lawrence is listening.
What, is he going to come in? And I think you can take him.
I don't know.
I mean, I know he's wiry, and he's a lot quicker than you are.
He's wiry.
I mean, everybody in the building is quicker than you are. Well, I are good buddies, man. I'm a big Lawrence fan. Mark does a great job. Well, the Mark's an excellent show. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. And by the way, we are being brought to you today by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Let's go to Rick in Montoursville. Rick, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
I got a question. Friday night lights. Yes. Because I haven't heard anybody talk about it. I just think it's ridiculous that they want to hold the football program hostage for all this situation that's going on up there.
Well, I've heard everything from Shepard Smith on Fox News to Laura Ingraham on her show last fall to now this. When people start talking about SMU and the death penalty and so forth, you want to know what SMU did? SMU paid players, made sure they didn't have to go to class, and did so to gain a competitive advantage on the field.
Right, that's
my point. In fact, Shepard Smith should be embarrassed because Ole Miss was put on probation for cheating in football, and they had losing years each of those years. His alma mater wasn't even good enough to cheat right.
Well, so, that's my point. Excuse me. I mean, they're talking about things that absolutely influence their game and their team, where this has nothing to do with the players at all. And I don't see how the NCAA can even come out and say anything that they might investigate it. I think it's crazy that they can step into a lawful situation like this and say, we're going to hold Penn State's football team accountable, or else we want to hold somebody accountable. It's just crazy, in my opinion.
This is a legal situation that many of the allegations were as a retired employee and not an active member of the staff at all. Was it all wrong? Yes. Does anybody within the football program now, you've replaced the head football coach, you have Bill O'Brien now in charge, all these players and so forth. Penn State has gained absolutely no competitive advantage out of this at all. It did not allow them to get players. It did not allow them to maintain players, and it did not change their competitive balance on the field at all. It is a legal issue. And it's being dealt as a legal issue, and justifiably so. And then Penn State is trying to be proactive at this point in what they want to do. They are no longer alleged victims. They are victims in this case. And so we feel deeply for the victims. There's no question about that. But at the same time, common sense has to enter that. And when you look at the football program and the football team, no competitive advantage has been gained out of this at all. Thus, the NCAA cannot look at athletics and look at the football program and ascertain that it has. Because when they put teams on probation, for example, for lack of institutional control, it is over the fact that you didn't have any control over gaining a competitive advantage on the field or the court.
Well, that's my point with this guy with this Friday Night Lights. I don't even know his name. The guy that's written the books and was behind the TV show that he hates Penn State so much that every chance he gets to get on any talk or news show that he's demanding Penn State football team be held accountable with the death penalty. It just drives me crazy. But on a happier note, I'm glad the Phillies are losing because I'm a Mets fan. Except R.A. Dickey failed last night.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, but you beat me to it.
it was a tough one for R.A. I blame Turner for throwing the ball at him crazy at first base for an out, and he kind of got bumped into it. And after that, his whole stride for pitching was off the rest of the night. So, but anyway, I'm glad the Phillies are kind of faltering a little bit. Thanks a lot, guys.
Rick, thank you. And the Mets are playing well despite the Yanks taking 2 out of 3. But the Yankees have taken interleague play to another level. That's why the Yankees have built an advantage. They've been the best team in interleague play. Now we'll find out what happens to the Yankees, whether they've garnered momentum because of what they did in interleague play, because in league play, they were really teetering along and just plodding along. They got to interleague play, and then they took off. Now, will they continue the momentum, or because of the matchups, go back to plodding along? That's what we need to find out.
By the way, the author's name is Buzz Bissinger that wrote Friday Night Lights.
Right.
Just for the sake of, being fair.
A lot of people in this have enjoyed listening to their own voices.
I would say he's one of them.
Okay. And you can be self-righteous up to a point, but common sense has to enter into it, too. All right. This is Mark Cuban. This is courtesy of ESPN2, and the show is called First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless with Mark Cuban. Do you mind, sir, if I play an excerpt from the show?
Please.
You may have more than one issue, but what's your biggest issue with Skip?
It's not just Skip. It's sports writers, sports media in general, where everything's generalities, right? Excruciating pressure. What the hell is that, right?
It was need excruciating leader. Pressure. That's what it was.
Is that meaning what, Skip?
Meaning that you personally watched up close and personal what LeBron went through last year against your Dallas Mavericks. Was it not the biggest collapse of a superstar that we've ever witnessed on a finals or championship stage?
No. I mean, first of all, it's a team game, right? You guys like to talk in complete generalities where no one can question you, right? You don't ever use facts. You don't ever use substance. You don't ever
use facts.
No.
That's all I use on this show.
What, excruciating pressure, undeniable this. You know, it's just all generalities.
There's never been a star under more pressure going into a finals, a championship series or game than LeBron James was under after 9 years and three league MVPs.
Well, first of all, you have the presumption that people care what you say. They don't. That when the guys go out there, when guys I'm talking about media in general. When guys get ready to play and they're in the locker room, they're not thinking, okay, well, what's written, what's going to be written, what's being said, right? I mean, they're getting prepared. And if you've got a good coach and you've got a good culture, then guys are ready to play no matter what. Like you guys were just talking about, you know, Miami wanted it more or less. Like that is just such horse, you know what, right? There's no such thing as it's not that Oklahoma City don't want it more. I think Miami was better prepared to play the game than Oklahoma City in terms of adjustments and changes. Now, if you want to talk about double teams and how they were used, whether or not they should have played zone, what defensive structure was in place, that's a valid conversation. But just saying they wanted it more, that's ridiculous.
Okay.
When you're Kevin Durant and you're Derek Fisher and you're Russell Westbrook, et cetera, and you're at that closeout game, there's nobody that wants it more. It's just a question of who executes better, and then you decide why.
Who played harder in the last games? Miami did every game. LeBron played harder than Kevin Durant did four straight games.
That is the most ridiculous thing any sports writer has ever said. Now, if you think when Kevin Durant walked off the court, he thought, yeah, I didn't play quite hard enough, mm-hmm. right? Now, you can say like he wasn't put in a position to succeed. You could say that they didn't run the right plays. They didn't get the ball to him on the block enough. And if you were smart, you'd come out and you'd have substance. You say, you know what? This is how many plays they ran to him on the block. Here's how Miami defended it. Now, you can also argue that the Pat Riley way is always the same way all the time. Miami played it the same way all the time. And then we can have a discussion about adjustments. Like last year, did we play harder than the Heat? Is that what you think it was?
No, I don't. I think LeBron disappeared and shrank in crunch time of the fourth quarter. And I can just show you the numbers of what he didn't do in every
fourth
quarter.
So we get no credit for not putting him in a position to succeed. Right. We played the Heat.
He put himself in. All he did was stand out on the perimeter.
Now, how do you think we defended that? Why do you think he was standing out there?
You didn't have to defend it.
Oh, right. So no matter what we did, he was just going to stand there and do nothing.
Well, that's all I saw. That was a lot
that's
of
exactly
it.
Right, Chip.
And hope
that's all
Dwayne
you
Wade
saw.
Saved the day for
that's,
him.
You're exactly right. That's all you saw. You didn't look. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's a complete insult to us mm-hmm. to say, you know what? The adjustments that we made.
What did you do to force him out there?
We had different – we had like six, seven different types of matchups in our zone, mm-hmm. right? And we played man-to-man, and we had a variety of different switches, right? So we knew that 90% of his shots were going to come from the left-hand side, right? We knew that if you gave him room from the left, he was going to drive. Now, we didn't have the athletes that Oklahoma City did, so we had to plan differently.
Sure.
So we need to make sure that we pushed him out away, and then we gave him different looks every time he had the ball because just making him – just forcing him to make a decision – right, to think about what he had to do, taking the time to read, are we in a zone, what type of zone are we in, how are we matching up, what type of rotations are we in, making him think made them pass the ball around the perimeter, which gave us a chance to adjust, right? Now, they're smarter, they're a better team this year, they deserve to win this year, but, you know, that's the way we played it. And so it wasn't just LeBron. LeBron actually played it right more often than not. He made the right pass to the right guy who didn't make the right play, and that's exactly what we wanted. We wanted to get the ball out of their hands and into the hands of somebody else who. We wanted him to play Michael Jordan and make somebody play Steve Kerr. Now, last night, Mike Miller.
They had several Steve Kerrs.
Yeah, they had,
in this
they had everybody stepping up, and yeah. they deserved every bit. You know, so, but
okay,
you're not, you're me, talking generalities, and just
no,
to
I'm
say,
not.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, you spewed out some generality about the players
you.
Don't care. Okay, let me tell you that for a fact, and Stephen A. can validate this, LeBron James listened to what I said for about, 8 years? Because that's all I heard. He said I was his Howard Cosell. And this year, for the first time, to his credit, he tuned out all the noise. That's all we saw in the finals was he's reading the Hunger Games trilogy before the games. He's meditating on the bench before the games. He tuned
out. This is a Skip Bayless special. LeBron lost last year because he wasn't paying attention to Skip Bayless. LeBron
no,
won this year
true.
Because he wasn't. That's
no.
what you just said.
Okay.
Did he not just say that?
Okay, here's what he didn't do. Here's what he didn't do against you guys.
Okay.
He let you off the hook because he didn't do what we saw him do for four straight games. He didn't drive through your zone and slash it up and dish. He didn't post up at all. This was a new deal. This was a new post-up game that we saw this year from LeBron. He shredded the Oklahoma City defense because he drove and he dished.
Okay.
He
did not drive. What kind of defense? When he was driving.
He wanted to be a pretty jump shooter against you guys, and it played right into your hands because he's a below-average jump shooter from the perimeter.
Okay, Skip. So when he was on the post, what were the different defensive schemes that Oklahoma City ran last night?
They used Cephalosha on him. They used Durant on him.
When he was in the post, what were the different defensive schemes that they used?
Ibaka was supposed to come hard.
He
did not come hard. He let LeBron get to the rim repeatedly, and Perkins was nowhere to be
seen. I just asked a simple question.
Yeah, I just told you.
No, you said so-and-so was supposed to. No, they doubled from down, right? And they doubled, and they passed, and they hit their open shots, right? Mm-hmm. When they kept on doubling, they changed, right? Because they passed it out. Mike Miller hit open shot. But that's just one example.
Did he get in the lane against you guys last year? Not at all in the fourth quarter.
Now, why do you play a zone, Skip?
Well, I've seen him slash up any kind of defense when he feels like it.
Skip, one of the things about
train. You just said you don't have the athletes that they have.
Right, and that's why we play more zone than possibly Oklahoma mm-hmm. City did, because we had smarter players who are not necessarily as athletic.
Yep, there you go. Head to head.
Wow. Oh, man. What are they going to do now that the NBA is over? What are they going to have to talk about for the next 3 months?
But the point of that is that, look, in order. All right. You want to know the biggest mistake that talk show hosts make?
Thinking they're an expert?
Well, beyond that, not going to games. You go cover a game. Do you see talk show hosts sitting there?
Not usually.
No, not you usually. Don't. You must be able to go to the game, see it in front of you, go into a locker room, talk to a coach, talk to a player, to then get the perspective as to what is going on. You can't sit and watch the television on your butt and come in the next day and go, you know what? He wanted it more than the Thunder. How the hell do you know that?
Those are the ones that I get. They weren't giving enough effort. I like that one, too. I mean, I've heard that many times before. What, they didn't want to win the championship?
I've always had a theory on play-by-play. On play-by-play. Always had a theory. All right? That when things are not going right for Penn State, some of it may be Penn State and their execution. No question. But guess what? Sometimes the other guy is doing something right.
You got to give credit where credit's due.
Exactly. Now, sometimes it's because of your lack of execution, but sometimes it's how they play you.
Sometimes how they play you creates right. a lack of execution on your right. part.
Now, what makes this show work the way it does? All right. When somebody calls in and asks you about high school, basketball, football, right?
Okay.
You can give answers because you're around it all the time.
Because I see it quite a bit, right.
But you also talk to them all the time.
Right.
Why, when somebody calls me up about, I don't care what it is, whether it's Penn State or Ohio State or Minnesota or whatever, okay? Football, basketball, whatever it happens to be. Why do I give the answers I do? Because there are several things. Number one, I'm at games. Number two, I'm at practices. And number three, I watch tapes of opponents. You cannot just sit there in your house, watch the game, go on the next day, and all of a sudden you start making all these provocative comments left and right. Well, he didn't give enough effort. He didn't do this. He's only a jump shooter. Blah, 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 blah. And then to never have a solid historical perspective. That's the worst championship series performance by... Hey, you know what? Who is the mark guy on that team? I've always I think I've always been very fair in how I've talked about LeBron James. Several times I've called him a great player, great passer, great all-around game, the whole thing, right? LeBron James, number one, took less money to go to the Miami Heat. He could have made $6 million a year more to stay in Cleveland. You realize that?
Yeah, I remember reading that.
He could have had $21 million to stay in Cleveland. He took a little bit more than $15 to go to Miami. And the reason he did it was simple.
You want to win a championship.
He looked exactly at the landscape around him in Cleveland and realized that they probably have topped out about where they're going. And he wanted to win a title, and he thought he had a better chance of going here and winning a title. And it turned out in the end he's right about that.
I just didn't have the big show about it. That's all.
How he did it made people resent him.
Right.
Instead of quietly going about it, reaching a deal, and then at a press conference explaining why, and then going from there, people in Cleveland would have been disappointed. But because they did it as this big one-hour show, people resented it. And then, of course, he then played, and he admits, at a different tempo and a different mentality last year, and it affected him. And because of that, he was smart enough to learn from that experience, settle himself down, and have a great year. I mean, that's using his words. But you can't do these shows by sitting in your house. You can't go on shows and spout off information about situations by watching it from your living room and then getting facts wrong all the time. You can't do it. You either have to be all in on this job, and if you're not, you're doing the audience an incredible disservice. And basically, Mark Cuban called, because he went after Stephen A. Smith, too. We didn't play that part. He went after him,
I was
going to
say,
too.
Stephen A. Smith was pretty quiet in that segment, but...
Yeah, you know, but he went after him, too, basically saying, hey, look, you know, and Bayless at one point looks at him, he says, hey, is the sky blue? You tell me it's green. He said, well, you're a contrarian. And Stephen A. says, well, I'll agree with that. I mean, that's what came out of that. And, again, to make statements for the shock effect to draw an audience and to garner ratings, to me, is not good television or radio. It's just not. All right. Who knows what we do? As Dick and I always talk about, even we don't know what we do.
At least you admit it, though. That's the step in the right direction.
We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. We fooled them. They're on the show every week. Purdy Insurance at Market Street in Sunbury and online at purdyinsurance.com. They'll take great care of you. Sunbury Motors is where we have the studio. They sponsor the studio at 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And at 1-800-795-9565, it's powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Hur in tow, responsible for any crazy comments after this.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car. Picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself. And negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word. Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com.